You're listening to an OTB AM podcast. You can watch the show or listen live every weekday morning from 7:45 AM. Subscribe to the OTB AM podcast stream for more stuff just like this.
Confirmation overnight that Paddy Talley is going to become the new Down coach. He was ratified yesterday evening. He's left his role with Galway, obviously. Danny Hughes, I'm delighted to say, joins us on the line. Morning to you, Danny.
Morning. Thanks. How are you?
Very good. Thanks a lot for taking the call. You worked with him, obviously, during the James McCartan round, I think, at Down. Best coach I ever played under, Danny, was the quote that we had from you at the time. What makes this guy so special?
I think his relationship with players is very much a big part of Paddy. There's a great emphasis on the football as well, which is always, from a player's perspective, it's always something that most players would relish when they go to training, is the fact that the cones might be out, but the balls are also there as well. And I suppose that's a big thing from a player perspective, and it's not just, you know, running drills for the sake of drills and stuff like that. But no, I think his relationship with players is probably Paddy's strongest point. You know, you feel very easy in his company. You feel that you can have a chat with him, very honest one. And, you know, he doesn't make promises that he doesn't keep. He's just very, very honest. If you're not, no matter how things are going, he'll always have your best interests at heart. So he's a very honest guy and very professional. He's big into his culture of the team, attitude, and giving players what they need to succeed as opposed to what they want to succeed. So I suppose that's the main things I would say about Paddy.
We might loop back on some of that in a little bit, but just like it does strike me as you're talking there about the various traits that he has, like they're going to be challenged in a much more significant way now that he's stepping into a senior inter-county role, in terms of that trust of the squad, in terms of, you know, making promises that he's got to keep. Like suddenly when you're the main man in that dynamic, it challenges those things in a way that probably it doesn't when you're a selector on the team.
Well, that's true. I suppose he's taken as a number one. He's taken St Mary's College to an unlikely Sigerson Cup. So, you know, albeit he has been a number two in a lot of the places that he's been, with Down, with Galway, with Derry and Tyrone. But, you know, success has followed him, or well, relative success anyway has followed him in those number two roles. And I think he's, you know, Paddy's 45 now. He's in the prime probably of his coaching career, and you know, this is a great opportunity. I feel it's a great opportunity as a down man that he takes over a team that's sitting, I suppose, after getting relegated Division 3, not in great shape, to be honest, and you know, players that are either turning down the invitation to play for the county or opting to leave. So I think Paddy will go a long way to arresting all those things and to developing a real good attitude in the squad and a good feeling as well, because the Down supporters have, you know, we've been without medals and trophies for, you know, a significant period of time. Yes, we went to an All-Ireland final in 2010 and we were very competitive in Division 1 for a good couple of years after that, but unfortunately, you know, things have deteriorated, and unfortunately, the good feeling around the place at that time wasn't built on, and now hopefully we can start to build on this with this appointment.
It's interesting, a lot of the things you say there, Danny, because I think the perception of Paddy Talley has been quite a cold one, that he's an excellent coach, excellent at drilling his players and getting a system in place that can sustain itself in modern Gaelic football. Galway, obviously, a perfect example. But from the way you're talking, it's almost as if he's going to be perfectly suited to being a manager, because like I haven't heard somebody really saying it in as much detail as you've said it there, that he's such a good people person, and changing that attitude is going to be the thing that he brings most to Donegal, rather than a better system like he brought to Galway over the past year.
Well, listen, you know, of course he's got the tactical nous, and you know, he's, you know, the modern way of football is, I suppose, is different than even when I played. You know, you've got defensive formations and whatnot, and people will say about Galway being defensive and stuff during the year. Up until 53 minutes when they played Dublin, you know, they were still only 3 points behind, having missed the penalty and having not taken their chances in the first half. So, you know, there's an argument there that Galway, the decision-making on the day was poor. And they were, you know, they were in a semi-final of an All-Ireland and they learned from that. But, you know, from a people's and a man management perspective, he is, you know, Paddy is a very ambitious fella as well. He wouldn't have taken name teams. He wouldn't take on name gigs as a number two if he wasn't ambitious. He's always looking to learn. You know, he's got a good backroom team in there as well. So, you know, this is a challenge for him. But I've no doubt that he can take on this challenge and win it. There was myself and four other individuals involved in getting him appointed. So, you know, we as a group, as a committee, wouldn't have appointed him if we didn't feel that he was up to the job. I more than believe that he is up to the job. I'm more confident than I've ever been that Down will be, you know, within 3 years, Down could be very competitive again once more in Ulster, which is very important, and hopefully playing Division One football. So, you know, there's no doubt that Down, the free-flowing game, the make it up as you go along, will be more structured. But I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that, you know, Down will score. And they've always had that wee bit of class going forward. So, you know, I don't see how Paddy can't build on all those, I suppose, genetic characteristics of Down footballers and just make them very, very competitive.
Was that a straightforward process, Danny? We weren't aware, actually, that you were involved in the process. Was it straightforward enough? Because, I mean, there would have been... We actually had Stephen Poacher on a few weeks ago. We were sort of half facetiously suggesting to him that he'd be involved there somewhere along the line. There's some past players, I'm sure, who would have been interested in it as well. So, yeah, was that a straightforward process?
You see, you know, I suppose, you know, to be fair to the Down County Board, I've been critical of them in the past, and you know, maybe it was a smart move on their behalf as an ex-player, as somebody had been critical, saying, right, you think you can do any better, here you go. So maybe it was very clever on their behalf to do that. But I do believe that things should be done professionally, done the right. You know, I understand some of the people involved were very... very vocal in their ambitions to become Down manager. They were very bullish about it. But, you know, early in the process, we, as a committee, I suppose, identified the type of people that we wanted to take over Down. And Paddy fitted that criteria brilliantly. And, you know, obviously he was involved in Galway, and you have to respect Galway, and you have to respect Paddy as an individual. We couldn't talk to him, we wouldn't talk to him until, he had made decisions with Galway and talked to Kevin Walsh and seen what the lay of the land was there. You know, when Paddy was making his mind up, then I suppose we could go and talk to him and have a chat and get things done pretty quickly. But as I say, I personally, my own personal preference was not, you know, I don't think if you're going to appoint a manager, you should headhunt the man that you want. I think interviews and flirting with other people really doesn't do you any good in the long term. So it was a difficult process. You're taking a lot of risks for it, but it's something I enjoyed, and it's something that I was very clear and very focused on, and making sure we got the right person for. And I think we've done that.
What sort of traits were you looking at, Danny, in that regard? Because I mean, like, if you look at Down football, obviously, and you've already pointed out that they've come in for some criticism over the last couple of years. There was obviously a big defeat to Donegal and Ulster this year. They lost to Cavan. I know there was an Ulster final last year, but it felt almost like an outlier for Down over the last few years. So, in that context, what sort of character or what sort of manager were you looking for?
Well, I think we're looking at somebody that will go about their business in a very professional manner. That's somebody that will understand the culture Down, which Paddy does because he was involved. I suppose that, you know, if we had won in All Ireland, he would have become an honorary Down citizen, I would have said that. But at at the end of the day, we were looking at somebody who's very, very professional, has had success behind them, which he has, and goes about their business in a very low-key but yet professional manner. I suppose everybody looks to the Dublin model, the Jim Gavin model, and sees, you know, how can you raise the bar in their own county. And, you know, I would always think that Dublin is the bar. All the teams, yes, are getting there. Donegal have got there in the past and stuff like that. And Tyrone, of course, you know, you look at what Mickey Hart's done this year. It's really remarkable what he's done as well. So the bar is there in Ulster. The bar is there in Ireland. And I believe that Paddy Talley knows where that bar is. And I believe that they can achieve that as long as players buy in. And I believe he's the best man manager to make sure that we don't hemorrhage any more players, that we don't lose players to America or London, and that we can put in professional, I suppose, professional backgrounds there with the wider team to make sure that the players have everything they need to succeed. Because it's not just as simple now as turning up at training, you know, and doing your training. There's a lot of stuff there in the background, like rehabilitation, prehabilitation, you know, a lot of medical stuff and science stuff that needs done, and GPS, all that kind of stuff. So Paddy's very au fait with all that new way of coaching, new way of managing. So that's really what we're looking for. You know, it's not an exhaustive list, but it's definitely something that's based around culture, discipline, and ultimately success, and wanting to be involved in Down football. You know, so Paddy fitted all that criteria for me from early on. So, you know, to be fair to the Down County Board, they give us a free rein to go and get the best person we can, and I have to commend them. They were very supportive the whole way through, you know. So, you know, if there's anything that's good to come out of that, it's the fact that they have shown this willingness to engage in people that's not yes men, that, you know, that they're prepared to hand over responsibility to others. So, I definitely thought that was a good thing, you know.
Yeah, Benny Coulter looks like he's going to be involved in the setup as well, Danny. What's he? Is he a sort of man who's accustomed perfectly to going into an intercounty setup? It looks like he's going to learn a bit from Paddy Talley. Surely, I'm sure most people would. Is he cut out for it? I guess is what I'm trying to ask for the big tough intercounty setup.
Benny's a coaching officer with Down, at the minute, so he's well aware of the players that are Down. He's also been our, to be fair, through my whole career, you know, he's been our best player, most iconic player. He's played for Ireland, represented Ulster, Ireland, and you know, without a doubt, Benny is a name that's, Benny Coulter is a name synonymous with Down football in the modern time. So, you know, I think it's a tip of the hat to him. It's a tip of the hat to, you know, our era that's come through as well, and that modern I suppose modern way of thinking about football. Benny's also, I suppose, manager of his own club in Merribridge, and he'll probably have to step away, but he'll be well aware of the players that's throughout the county and the players that's coming through as well, to be fair, from minor to under 20. So he's got a great knowledge of football, and again, I think, you know, Benny's always been a fan favourite as well there. So I think it's a tip of the hat to him, and you know, as I definitely, I think it's a very positive thing that he's involved as well. And then you've got Gavin McGilley, who led Tyrone club team Moy to the intermediate club final as winners last year, and Stephen Bailey. So you've got a great diverse coaching background there. You know, and there's a lot of other stuff going on in the background that that will hopefully make Down a much more competitive and better team.
Yeah, before we let you go, Danny, we do want to ask you, obviously, about the big game next weekend. Some wild rumours, as they're being reported, is that Conor McKenna, I don't know if you've seen these, but that Mickey Hart's been in contact with Conor McKenna, and he's prepared to come back from the AFL to get involved in this game next weekend. I mean, I don't know, wild rumours is how they're described, and potentially that's the way it just plays out. But are you giving Tyrone any shake in this game?
Well, as for the rumour one, I suppose, Conor McKenna, you know, unless Mickey Hart came out and said, yes, I've contacted him and he's willing to come back, I would take it with a pinch of salt for a couple of reasons. One, if he did come back, you know, how would that go down in the wider panel? You know, I would think
not
that somebody
well, I'd
that,
say.
You know, that's pushing hard in the wider panel would be a bit aghast that to think that somebody is coming home to help them out. But listen, it's not without the realms of possibility given Stephen O'Neill in 08 and stuff like that. So do I give Tyrone a chance? Tyrone would need to have an exceptional offensive tactic up their sleeve, which I think they will need to. You know, I think in 05 and 07 they put in a really, really good couple of defensive tactics to negate obviously the Donaghy's, the Walsh's of this of that era and stuff like that. So they're going to have to come up with something offensively. That's the first thing. And the second thing is Dublin need to have a bit of an off day as well, I feel, because how can you question this Dublin team at this stage? You know, three All-Irelands going for four in a row. They have proved that, you know, there's a really strong bench there as well. The boys that are coming off the bench, All-Ireland winners like Kev McManaman, Paul Flynn. Like, they have a serious, serious backroom, you know, back up there to come through. So how can you question Dublin at this stage? And I think the four in a row is coming, and it could be five and six.
Yeah.
In the next couple of years. So, listen, you're not gonna lose out of watching Dublin play football. They do play football in a brilliant way, but you know, from a hope perspective, of course, from a Northern perspective, you will want Tyrone to win. But you know, football is not going to be any the worse for Dublin winning because of the way they play. So, you know, I think it's all Dublin. If I was to say, there's a 65-70% chance of Dublin winning, that's where I put Tyrone's chances. But you know, it definitely will be more competitive and closer than it was in last year's semi-final. But I would say Dublin by 4 or 5.
Danny, thanks a million for taking the call.
No problem.
Cheers. Danny Hughes on the line there, on foot of that confirmation that Paddy Talley is going to take the Down job. We're going to talk to Kevin Walsh in about 15 minutes thereabouts. We're going to talk to him about preview of that Dublin Tyrone game, and also get his thoughts on Paddy Talley as well. So that is to come. Should mention that OTBAM is live with Screwfix.ie, championing the trade with a choice of over 20,000 quality trade products. So keep your comments coming into us, abusive or otherwise. But next up, Monaghan's Conor McManus was one of the stars of the summer as Monaghan reached the All-Ireland semis. He was named as the PwC GPA Player of the Month for July, and as such, Owen caught up with him during the week.
Nearly every day you go out, you're expected to be man-marked. That's just how it is. So, you know, the semi-final against Tyrone was no different. I suppose Tyrone's system is different to maybe other teams, whereby, you know, they play with a double sweeper, you know, a lot of the time, and space can be at a premium. But, you know, as I say, every day you go out, you're expected to be man-marked. So the Tyrone semi-final was no different, really, you know.
So when you say a different system, you mean if you got a little bit of a break clear from Hampsey, suddenly Colm Kavanagh was standing in front
of you?
Well,
see, that's it, and that's how they operate. I think we might have had a goal chance at one stage in the first half, had got clear, and then I think it might have been Matty Donnelly or somebody had come back to provide that cover, and that's the way Tyrone operate, you know. They play with men back all the time. So, as I say, you're man-marked in every game. You know,
yeah.
So it's no different from any other game. It's just that sometimes Tyrone play with more defensive nature than other teams, you know.
Are man markers, or defenders in general, allowed to get away with a little bit more at the moment? The referees are letting the game flow a little bit too much at the moment?
Yeah, possibly. As a forward, I'm always going to say that anyway. If you ask our defenders, they're probably not going to agree. So it just all depends on what end of the field you're in. Look, I suppose referees have a tough job. Probably need more help from sideline officials, umpires, whatnot, and I think that would be a big help to them.
Yeah, I think that was particularly evident on that afternoon in Croke Park. Like, I'm not asking you to like bash the referee here or anything, because it's kind of all in the past at this point, but you do get the sense, particularly from that afternoon in Croke Park, that a second referee would have been very, very beneficial.
Yeah, I'm not going to come up here and criticise referees. You always feel after games that the decisions could have went your way and would make the difference, but you know, I think Malachy might have spoken about it after the game, and as I say, I'm not going to go into that here now. Because ultimately we had a semi-final there, we had a final place up for grabs and didn't perform well enough to win the game, and yet, as I said, still probably could have snuck a result, and we had to take that on the chin, you know.
Yeah, there was one comment I saw only this morning, actually. I think it went under the radar afterwards. Patrick Hampsey was saying that you went looking for a few frees during that match. I'm not sure if that's something you'd agree with.
No, well, look, I suppose we'll let people form their own opinions on that there. I think that the general opinion on that after the game was that the referee might have been a wee bit hard on Monaghan. As I say, I haven't watched the game back, so I can't comment myself, but there was a lot of social media, and particularly in the media themselves, there's a lot of media comment on that. As I say, it's not my place to say. I haven't watched the game back, so I can't really comment on it, you know.
It's interesting that you haven't watched the game back, actually. Do you find it particularly tough to watch games back that you've lost in?
Yeah, it can be tough enough at times. I just, to be honest, I haven't got around to it. I probably will in time, but just at the minute, I haven't got around to watching it back, you know.
Yeah, it's... Like, I think even supporters of counties who've had very narrow defeats would even struggle to do it. So, like, I'm not sure, is it something that Malky gets you in later on this winter to try and kind of put those demons to rest, or is it just a matter of completely forgetting it now?
No, I think at this stage, you know, there's nothing to be gained at the minute by watching it back anyway, only for your own personal... for your own personal viewing, but as a team, there's nothing really to be gained by watching it. Maybe later into next year, might take a look back at it and see what learnings we can get from it. But in the immediate aftermath, there's no real joy in watching it back.
Yeah, yeah. How do you reflect on your own summer? Because I think everybody is in agreement that it's hard to kind of thrive as an individual with bags of talent as a forward, as a wing forward, a corner forward, or a full forward at the moment. But it seemed that you were the exception to that. You and a couple of other forwards were the exception to that this summer, that you still managed to put in unbelievable individual performances despite the fact that we've got this growth of very teak tough systems.
It's enjoyable, you know, and there is obviously there's days where it can be tougher than others, and as I say, you're maybe defensive systems, as you mentioned, and things like that, so it can be tough, but that's part of the challenge, and that's, you know, you prepare for that every day you go out, you know that that's coming your way, and you try and find ways around it, and try and, you know, thinking maybe one or two steps ahead as to where you need to be, or where you need to move, or how you're going to get on the ball, or where you need to be to get on the ball, and things like that, so it's a challenge, and the way the game has gone is obviously very different to how it was maybe when I started playing into county football. And, you know, things were a lot more open and a lot more free-flowing. But it's a challenge, and I suppose that's part of the enjoyment of it, you know.
Yeah, just a final topic before we wrap up. Just Monaghan in general at the moment. I know it's still probably a little bit too close to have an appreciation for this, but Monaghan football is now being held up as the template to other counties with a small population, that if you get your structures right, if you get your development squads right, and you've got good coaches at all levels, you can achieve great things like being All-Ireland semi-finalists and being that close to being All-Ireland finalists and challenging at the very, very top table. Like, it's obviously something that you'd agree with yourself. What do you think is the single biggest factor for getting Monaghan into the place where it is now?
It's a combination of a lot of things. I think there's been a good... You know, obviously having Malachy at the helm for a steady, prolonged period of time, you know, whereby he can get working with guys for a prolonged time. Like, he can bring young lads into the panel maybe two, three years ago that we're only really seeing now, you know, for the likes of Conor McCarthy, Ryan McInnesby, these boys that have been in there 2 or 3 years now and have that under their belt. Niall Cairns is another example of it, who have been in there, played under Malachy, trained under Malachy, and then they know how the system is, they know how the team wants to play, and we're really starting to see the benefits of them players now, and you know, them guys are all 19, 20, 21, 22, that age of player, so you know, and you know, obviously Malachy and his backroom team, Ryan Porter, Leo McBride, Owen Lennon, Colly McRae, the work that they have done over the last number of years has been massive with this team. But then there's things that's going on in the background. You have a county board, you have the development squads and things out there, and everybody's pulling in the one direction, and you know, once you have harmony there, it makes things a lot easier. But on top of that there, I suppose, and can be missed at times, Monaghan there's quality players in Monaghan, there's quality footballers in Monaghan, and you'll not do any of that without it. Mm. You know, and I suppose sometimes that can be overlooked, and people talk about the size of Monaghan's population and whatever else. To be honest, it's not something we look into or read into at all. We have a team, we have a panel of 36 players, the same as every other panel in the country, and we work as hard, if not harder, than a lot of them. and you're trying to get the best out of yourself every day.
Yeah, it's interesting what you mentioned there, those young lads like McCarthy and McInnesby who've been in the panel for a few years despite the fact that they're still quite young. Do you think that that's a template for other people to follow, that no matter what age you are, even if you're just out of minor, just get them into the senior setup just so that they can see how it operates, and even if they're not going to make their championship debut for a few years, then they'll be far more ready than if they were 21 and only getting their first experience of the setup.
Well, that's it, and them guys have played championship football and have played very well. Like Ryan McInnesby came on for us in the Ulster final in 2015.
Yeah.
So he's been there and been playing for Monaghan consistently. But the more you're involved in a setup and the more comfortable you can get in a surroundings like that there. Whereas if you come in at maybe 19, 20, 21 and it's your first year, and it always takes a year or two to find your feet and to be confident within the group and be confident in your surroundings. So the quicker you can get guys into that environment and this is where they belong, and you can get them into the routine of strength and conditioning, nutrition, all the basics that comes with it, the quicker you can get boys into that train of thought and that mentality, you know, the better it will be for the years ahead.
Yeah, and then they obviously come from a very strong development squad set up. Obviously Rory Began is one of the game's promotion officers, isn't he, down there, up there, to actually help identify those talents. I wonder if that development setup was as good, say, 10 years ago. Do you think you would have been identified sooner? Do you think you would have been a county minor?
Yeah, well, like I was on a minor panel, all right, in fairness, and I got dropped off it before the championship. I suppose it's definitely something that has improved massively, you know, over the last 10, 15 years since I was back in development squads. The emphasis that's been placed on young guys and the opportunities they're getting and the things that they're getting in place, you know, the likes of strength and conditioning, even though it might be very basic at that level, it's just getting them into that mentality that's what trying to get to the top involves is your nutrition, your strength and conditioning, your prehab work, your stretching, all them small things that you have to do day in, day out. But if you can get guys into that, you know, habit and that train of thought early on, it makes a massive difference to when they do get to that senior level, that it's just they're just doing their everyday thing, you know, when they get there, you know.
But also the key thing is that the clubs aren't being forgotten, despite the fact that this is matching other counties for elitism, because, like you mentioned yourself there before we pressed record here, that you're out playing county league last week, and there's a setup in Monaghan, isn't there, where you get extra points in the league for a game with your county players.
Yeah, they've changed that this year to try and give games to the club players throughout the whole summer. So there's 9 games with your county players and 9 games without, and the 9 games with your county players are worth 5 points and the 9 without are worth 2. So it's just given teams a steady run of games throughout the summer where the county team and the county guys have been off focusing on that. The club lads have been fit to play football right through the summer, so it seems to have worked quite well.
How do you think you would have got on against Dublin?
that's a golden question. I was asked that earlier on, just about the All-Ireland final and Tyrone's chances. If we were going into the All-Ireland final, you would be going in thinking you could win it, and I've no doubt Tyrone are going in thinking the same. If they're not,
game over already.
What's the point going? And there's absolutely no doubt that Tyrone are going in thinking they can win it. Mickey Hart will feel that he is a team there that can win the All Ireland on any given day. It's a one-off game now, and there's no doubt Tyrone will feel that they can win it. If we were going into it, we'd be thinking the same. Now it's a massive challenge. There's no point saying any different. It's probably the best team possibly playing the game. Going for 4 in a row, so it's a huge challenge, but it's not one that Tyrone will fear, you know.
Yeah, last question then. We look at Limerick winning the All-Ireland in hurling at the weekend, and it seems that the gulf that we would have perceived was there between Limerick and Kilkenny 5-6 years ago, even between Limerick and Tip and Galway over the past couple of years, seems similar enough between the gulf between Dublin and the rest of the Division 1 teams. Is that fair to say, and what can you learn from that then?
I suppose it's like anything else. I suppose you can take any teams that are thereabouts can take heart from that and take learnings from that. That, you know, if you can get your house in order and I suppose there's a number of teams that are thereabouts at the minute, and it's just taking that final wee step. And I think if you listen to any of the Limerick lads since they won, they all talked about belief and they all talked about how they felt they belong there. And
they talked about having fun as well, which is something that we don't hear a lot in county Gaelic games at the moment.
Yeah, no, and funny, it's something that we would have had over the course of the summer this year. I suppose that the fact that the games have come so thick and fast, and when you're together that much, it just lends itself to having fun as well, I suppose. But it's you know, it's an enjoyable time for anybody, you know, particularly the way the games have gone this year. You're playing week in, week out. There's less training, more games, and it just lends itself to that sort of atmosphere around the camp, you know.
Conor McManus in conversation with Owen there at the PWC GPA All-Star Player of the Month announcements during the week. Deller Beller has been in touch on YouTube. He says, yes, boys, what's the crack? Who would you rather have in your team? Colm Cooper in his prime or McManus in his prime? Be honest, says Deller Beller.
Colm Cooper.
I mean, I think it's... Conor McManus is a class player, a marquee forward, hugely important for his county, but Colm Cooper's one of the greatest forwards of all time.
Yeah, it's quite clear.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not even entertaining the debate.
Ty Carroll wonders if Deller Beller is crazy, to be fair. It's an accurate enough sort of observation.
Yeah, like, I mean,
maybe Deller Beller get back in touch and tell us sort of what you're thinking, what's your rationale, what's your choice.
It would be interesting to see McManus play in the Kerry team that Scooch played on.
Ah, yeah, but I mean, like, it's all...
McManus in that 09 team would have caused wreck, yeah, to use that phrase.
A good Kerry phrase. Delighted to say we're joined on the line by the Galway football manager, Kevin Walsh. Good morning to you, Kevin.
How are you doing? How are you keeping?
Very good. Thanks a lot for taking the call this morning. We want to talk to you a little bit about Tyrone, Dublin, but if you'll permit us, Paddy Talley obviously has been confirmed overnight as the new Down football manager, meaning that he's going to leave your setup a loss, I'm sure.
Ah, yeah, I look at Paddy, we had him for the year there, and Paddy be very committed, and but obviously he's got, you know, bigger things to fill in his life, and you know, I suppose it's his first job, I think, heading into the number one role, so, you know, it's a good opportunity for him, and it's not too far from home, and you know, met Paddy last week, we had a good chat about things, so, you know, just, you know, heading into his, you know, with St Mary's and coaching for so long, it'll be his first time in the front seat.
Yeah, we were talking to Danny Hughes about it a bit earlier on, and sort of that notion of exactly that thing, that point that you make. It's a different beast, isn't it, being the selector to the main man?
It is, of course, yeah. But I suppose, you know, look, at some point, when the ambition is there to do that, it's a good place for him to get and to try. It's a new challenge for him, and it certainly is a different beast.
So he asked you for your advice, I'm sure. What did you tell him?
Don't get out of it.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. I know. Look, we had a good chat about it last week, and obviously these decisions and this change coming up, people often can be afraid or don't like change, and you know, you have to admire people that put themselves out there to challenge themselves at the highest level, and all that comes with it. So there'll be plenty of flack coming during the year to every manager, and you're going to have to take that. But at the same time, there's a lot of good in those challenges that you set up for yourself as well.
Yeah, the transformation is probably a bit of a strong word, but the improvement that Galway made from last season to this season is stark. It's been one of the stories of the year. To what extent was that a collaborative experience between you and Paddy? Was it mostly you, and then Paddy kind of executed it, or how did it work?
In fairness, it's you know, when you're bringing new fresh voices, it's always good, and when you bring people with a background of knowledge, that's always good as well. So you work that together, you know. I mean, you know, I suppose maybe with all that's been, you know, is the likes of Down now, it'll be interesting to see, you know, where I'm sure they'll be watching what kind of tactical stuff goes on and stuff. But you know, we would have worked well together. I think it's a case of when you start off with any team, the foundations are you know, your philosophy and what you believe in and what you're going to stick to, and if you have a vision and a plan, you know, you're going to get plenty of flack for the first year or two in trying to execute that. But you know, at the end of the day, I think sport has gone to level now. It's not about entertainment. You have to be looking at winning as well. So it's a case of that vision and plan going forward, and you driving it and standing by it. And well, that's something that Paddy or any manager is going to have, and it'll be tough days at the start, and you know, but you work together, you get the best around you, and you try to drive that plan forward as much as possible. So, you know, I think even getting Paddy in last year and the year gone by, you know, it's funny, Paddy would mainly have done, you know, on the attacking side for us, and so I don't expect straight away that Down are going to be seen as a defensive team, because Paddy would have plenty of knowledge of attack, and that's mainly where he was with us, to be honest.
You mentioned taking flak there, Kevin. Do you feel that this Galway team, your Galway team over the past season, has got a lot of flak?
But to be honest, I don't really care about the flak, because the flak you're talking about is probably from outside. So look, that's just a kind of a game that's been played by certain people that like to keep at that. So we don't really get involved, to be honest. And, you know, I always talk about India accounts. The flak I would be worried about is the flak I would give myself. And we will give plenty of flak to ourselves if we feel we've failed in certain areas. We do that all the time. We'll do that again this year. But at the end of your account, all we can do is, where has this team come from? Has it gone from 14 up to 8, 8 up to 5, 5 up to 2 or 3? That's the end of your accounts we do. Regardless what flak comes behind that, we don't really care. We'll do it. The flak that really makes a difference for us is, and we will do this, is the flak we give ourselves. And, you know, that's the only way you can improve.
Kevin, we'd John Kiley in last week. He was in a similar enough sort of position to yourself, obviously having gotten so close that you can almost touch it, and then obviously to fall at the final hurdle.
John Myler
rather than John Kiley, who was a very different story this summer. And he was talking about, yeah, that whole dynamic and the pain of it and sort of that whole process of trying to get over it. Where are you at, like, a couple of weeks on at this stage?
Look, where am I at? Personally, need to review. That's where I ask the minute. You know, it's when you have set yourself targets and you know, every team bar one is going to fall at some hurdle, and I'm always conscious of that in 10 years of this crack now. So there's always going to be a day that you're going to have to just, you know, realise that the season is over, and whether that's at the very final team or not, there's only one out of 32 that's going to win that. So you have to be realistic, and you have to look properly at the year. You know, you have to look at, you know, the mirroring image. You have to look at ourselves. So at the minute, we're probably going to be getting together to look at ourselves, and we'll take it from there and see where we go from here. But, you know, as I said, at the end of every match, you've got large back-home teams, a large amount of players, lives, you know, circumstances change, all that type of stuff goes on. So it's a new year, and I suppose we just have to look to see where we're at.
Is that kind of helicopter-level stuff at this stage, or are you already in the minutiae looking back at the loss to the Dubs, or, like, what sort of level is that at?
It's at a level, I suppose, that people are taking holidays, different things like that. So the real deep chatting hasn't probably taken place yet. So it's a case of everybody just winding down, getting the thoughts together, and see where it goes from there.
In terms of the, obviously, looking ahead to next weekend and the prospect that lies in store from a Tyrone point of view, were the things that, looking back at the game, or thoughts that you had in terms of, I'm sure Mickey Hart has analysed the hell out of it, that you might have done differently, or, yeah, that Tyrone might be able to implement?
I think, you know, when you're playing Dublin in Crow Park, and, you know, there's a lot of factors against you, and that's number one. So you're going to have to be ready to be almost, well, not almost, at the very top. And I suppose if you look at, you know, you're going to have to convert your chances, you know, and I think that would be a huge thing to do. But at the same time, I've got to, you know, be realistic in this and understand that that was probably the first time that nearly all those guys had fucked out in front of 60,000 and that shouting and roaring and stuff that goes on. So I think it's important for every team to get to Crow Park as often as possible, because you really have a few factors to deal with. You know, the as I said to you, the goalposts aren't as visible as they would be in pitches that people have played in. I suppose that's something that, you know, where teams are going to have to really work at, because Dublin has a huge advantage in that area. So, you know, this Dublin team are there, so 2011, 2013. So their familiarity goes way back, where the younger teams now are going to have to deal with that. And I suppose, you know, the Mayos of this world, who came on the scene the same time in 2013 as this Dublin team, would be a lot more used to those environments. So that environment is a huge, it's a barrier to get over, but look, everyone has to get over that.
What do you think Mickey Hart is going to do next weekend, Kevin?
Look, Mickey is long enough in the game. He's going to have to, as you said, analyse the hell out of all games, not just our game. And the team are going to have to take their chances. And I suppose, number one, they're going to have to make the chances. And I think if you were to look at anything, we had probably something like 17, 18 good chances. There weren't shots from all over the place, you know, but we didn't convert half of what we should have converted, and that may have just put a little bit of pressure on the Dubs. And then second half, obviously, you know, maybe a bit of doubt in the mind, and we that 15 minutes, we certainly pushed up. If we're going to get bet by two, we'll have to get bet by seven or eight, and we leaked a lot of late points because of that. But that's all part of the learning process. So it was Mickey will have to analyse everything, and he's going to have to know he's going to have to take a chance.
Like, it took them a while to get to grips with Ian Burke, obviously. That might be one thing that sort of maybe surprised a few people that have maybe took Dublin so long, and maybe something that gives Tyrone a bit of hope here.
I don't think it's down to one player. I think John Armstrong had two or three chances. You know, Shane Walsh had two or three chances. Damien had early chances. Just two or three, you know, the penalty chance obviously missed. There's another goal chance missed. So it wasn't just one person. I think you're going to have everybody at this. You're going to have runners all over the place. You're going to have to make space. And hard enough to make space, but you're going to have to be doing that. And, you know, I don't think that this can be a case that you're kind of hoping that one player is going to deliver here for Tyrone. It's going to, that's, everyone's going to have to be firing, and everyone's going to be working really hard.
That making space is quick movement of ball, and, like, obviously there's a fatigue factor obviously involved in all of that, and we've seen how a lot of teams can live with Dublin to sort of 50-55 minutes and then fall away. Like, is there almost a fitness factor in that to a degree?
Yeah, again, I suppose it's you know, if you can dictate the game, and the one way that you're dictating the game is to be leading. And I think if you get your chances early on and you take them and you win the game, you can start dictating at your pace. So that's something that I suppose most teams should be aspiring to, is to put themselves in a position that, you know, that they don't leave in the opposition with a ball handler type of activity going on where they can hold the ball and he's in the counter. So that's going to be crucial early on, if the chances are made, number one, and that they're taken. And if they're taken, you know, and you can be in a position to at least try to control the game, you give yourself a chance.
Good stuff, Kevin. Thanks a million for taking the call.
No problem, really.
That's the Galway manager, Kevin Walsh, there previewing the Dublin-Tyrone game for us and reflecting as well in the news that Paddy Talley is the new Down manager, the former Galway selector. A whole bunch of comments in here. Ty Carroll on YouTube says, maybe Conor McManus, actually. This is the Gooch versus Conor McManus debate. He's had to produce the goods against a lot more aggressive defences. So it's the... He's playing against Ulster opponents much more often that Gooch wouldn't have done. And essentially what Ty Carroll is here, I'm absolutely putting words in his mouth, is saying that the Gooch had a bit of an armchair ride, whereas Conor McManus didn't.
Yeah, well, you are putting words in his mouth, because that's not, like, that commenter would not have the audacity to suggest that Gooch had an armchair ride. But you're clearly sticking the neck out there, Adrian.
So if you like this, you'll probably also like OTB AM, Ireland's only sports breakfast show. Subscribe to the OTB AM podcast stream or catch the show live on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook or offtheball.com every morning from 7:45 a.m.